This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. الحمد لله حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافئ مزيده، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا كريم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري وحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. رب زدني علما، رب زدني علما، رب زدني علما. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. Welcome everyone to another day with the tafsir of Juz Amma. Okay, we've already done Surah Al-Naba, and we spent quite some time with Surah Al-Nazi'at as well, and subsequently we're looking today at Surah Abasa. And this particular story, or this particular surah, has actually a story behind it as well. Not every single surah has a particular reason for revelation. And what I mean by that is there may have been a reason for revelation, but we don't really have that reason. Sometimes we have the reason and sometimes we don't. So not every ayah or even every surah do we have a reason for revelation for. But this is one that we have a very clear reason for revelation on. Okay? And the reason for revelation of these particular verses, this surah, عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّى, is that a man by the name of Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum had come to the Prophet ﷺ, and he wanted to ask the Prophet ﷺ. Some reports have it he was asking the Prophet for specific verses. Others have it he was just getting general guidance from the Prophet ﷺ. Now the Prophet, he's speaking to other people. Remember, he's a very busy guy, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He has a mission to accomplish. He has da'wah to give. He has people to talk to. He has armies to dispatch and discharge. He has a lot of different tasks that he has to fulfill, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So it's a no-brainer that he's going to get occupied at times, right? And this was one of those times the Prophet saw an opportunity to speak to some of the leadership in Quraysh and give them da'wah. He wanted to give them that da'wah and hopefully get to their hearts. And so he was actually sharing some verses with some of the leadership. Who are they? There are different names given in different ahadith. What's important is there were some of the leaders in Quraysh. So different ahadith have it different ways exactly who the person the Prophet was talking to. But what we know is that they were some of the leaderships. That's enough. And so as he's speaking to them, the Prophet ﷺ, he turns away from Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktum, also known as Abdullah ibn Zaidah. He turns away from him. And he doesn't give him the attention that he should have. That doesn't mean the Prophet was going to neglect this human being. He just thought that right now is not the best time to talk to this person. You have a person who's already, I've got their interest, but here I have someone who, if they accept Islam, behind them are going to be a lot of other people who will also accept Islam because they're leaders, and leaders, of course, make people follow them, and they will follow their lead and accept Islam as well. So the Prophet is trying hard with these people, but he turns away from Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktum, who was blind. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from above the seven heavens, he corrected the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on this particular action of his, even though, remember, it's not a sin necessarily what the Prophet has done. If you turn away from someone and you talk to someone else, all of it is in da'wah, you're not going to be sinful for that. But Allah wants the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and hence those who follow his message as well in giving da'wah to others, to be at the epitome of character. So he corrects the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in a beautiful manner. Now, there are a number of places in the Qur'an where Allah corrects the Prophet ﷺ. And if you look at any of those places in which Allah corrects the Prophet, you will notice a very, very clear form of etiquette that Allah is teaching to us through His manner in correcting the Prophet ﷺ. A, in the way you correct people, and B, in specifically the way you deal with the Prophet ﷺ. Now, normally when you're addressing someone who's done something wrong, what do? You address them directly. You said, brother, wallahi, I saw, you know, you're doing X, Y, Z. And this is what I think is necessary. I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you the tawfiq. You're talking to Him with the you, right? But Allah Azza wa Jal speaks to the Prophet, but because the Prophet's status, even to Allah, is so great, and he doesn't want to hurt the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he goes and he changes to the third person, and he says, عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّىٰ. He frowned and he turned away. The Prophet frowned and the Prophet turned away. Even though the revelation is coming down to who? The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. أَنْ جَاءَهُ الْأَعْمَىٰ. He frowned, he turned away, because a blind man had come to him. And the reason why we know Allah did that when He was specifically pointing out the fault is after that, Allah goes into the first person. Now that the fault is mentioned in the third person, as if Allah's Prophet ﷺ's status is such that even his faults shouldn't be mentioned by Allah Azza wa Jal directly. عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّىٰ. He frowned, he turned away. أَنْ جَاءَهُ الْأَعْمَىٰ. That a blind man had come to him. And now when he gives the guidance, he gives it directly to Rasulullah. وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّهُ يَزَّكَّى. And who had told you, O Muhammad? Who had told you? Now there's a you. There's a khitab. There's a pronoun directed at the second person. That لَعَلَّهُ يَزَّكَّى. Perhaps this man who had come to you, from whom you frowned and you turned away, maybe he would have accepted the message and purified himself. Who's to tell you that who is going to purify themselves and who is not going to purify? So this is the adab that Allah teaches to us with the Prophet ﷺ in many places in the Quran. So for instance, when in the battle of Tabuk, as they're going, some of the people, the munafiqeen of Medina, they end up coming to the Prophet and they excuse themselves from the battle. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he talks to the Prophet and he says, why did you do this? But he starts off the scolding process by saying, I've forgiven you already, O Muhammad. عَفَى اللَّهُ عَنْكَ لِمَ أَذِنْتَ لَهُ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَتَعْلَمَ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Allah has forgiven you, O Muhammad. Why did you give them permission to stay behind? So Allah wants to tell you that Allah has already forgiven the Prophet ﷺ for those things that were and those things that would have been as well. And that's something that Allah reminds the Prophet of as well, that when he's even scolding him or correcting him, he's doing that in a manner. And this is something that is supposed to teach us a manner with the Prophet ﷺ as well. You see, today when people go and they visit the grave of Rasulullah ﷺ, what happens? There's so much noise around the grave. And there's so much, sometimes people are literally wrestling because they want to get the prime time spot, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِي وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ كَجَهْرِ بَعْضِكُمْ لِبَعْضِ أَن تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. That, do not raise your voices before the voice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And don't direct him and address him the same way you would address other people as well. And if you do so, that perhaps some of your good deeds will be wasted away. People are wrestling outside nowadays of the grave of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and they don't understand the manners during the time of the Prophet ﷺ and after the death. And that's why some of the Salaf, they used to say this verse is applicable before the death of the Prophet and also after the death, that when you go there, silence yourself. Because the dead can hear. And that's why the Prophet addressed the people of Badr that had died. And he said that, O people of Badr, I found what Allah had promised me to be true. And did you find what Allah had promised you to be true? And the Prophet said in a hadith that the deceased, when he's in the grave, he hears the footsteps of the people that are burying him as they leave away. So the dead also hear. They hear. And so Allah's Prophet ﷺ hears. And everyone hears. So that's why the ulama, they said, this is not a time for you to be raising your volume. You don't do that in regular graveyards. How about around the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّىٰ. And in other places as well, as Allah corrects the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, every single time you'll notice this, that Allah is giving him an excuse. Allah is sharing us with us a manner as well. Here there's a manner for us to apply as well, by the way. Because normally, as I said earlier on, we direct advices to people directly. Sometimes when you give them indirectly, it's easier for them to accept it. You just give them a scenario, for example, right? Instead of saying, I saw you doing this, that, and the other. I saw you coming with your muddy shoes into the masjid. Instead of doing that, you can just make a scenario. I saw a brother, subhanAllah, he was bringing his muddy shoes into the masjid. And wallahi, you know, what it did is X, Y, Z, and maybe you do it a little bit later as well. There is a way and a manner to give nasiha to people. And Allah is teaching us that even Allah is, of course, the creator of all. Allah is the sustainer of all. Allah is the master of all. Allah is the Rabb al-Alameen. He's the Lord of the universe. He has the right to correct the Prophet very directly. And it's not like the Prophet is going to take it personally. He knows this is Allah. He can say what he wants, when he wants, how he wants. But still Allah is teaching us. This is how we correct people. That when you want to talk to people about problem mistakes they've made, come in the third person as if you're giving them a scenario that happened, and it's not like you're saying, you did this, why did you do this and why did you do that? وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّهُ يَزَّكَّى And what is to tell you, O Muhammad, that perhaps he would have accepted the guidance. أَوْ يَذَّكَّرُ فَتَنْفَعَهُ الذِّكْرَى Or maybe he would have understood the message you're giving, and your reminder would have benefited him then. أَمَّا مَنِ اسْتَغْنَى Now Allah goes to the other group of people who are the kuffar of Quraysh, who are specifically the iliyat al-qawm, the leadership and the aristocracy within the kuffar of Quraysh, the pagans of Arabia, of Quraysh specifically. And Allah says those people who were istaghna, those people who, they didn't need that type of guidance and they felt themselves more greater than them to be addressed by a message from someone like yourself. Those who thought that way, they were arrogant. You, فَأَنْتَ لَهُ تَصَدَّى You kept on placing yourself forth before them and trying to get the message to them. And you forgot the person that's trying to come to you and asking you a question. وَمَا عَلَيْكَ أَلَّا يَزَّكَّى And what does it matter to you? What does it matter to you if this person accepts Islam or not? It's not your decision at the end of the day, and you're not going to take him to hellfire, and you're not going to take him to account. Your job is to do what? وَمَا عَلَيْكَ إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينُ All you have to do is you have to deliver the message very clearly. After the message has been delivered very clearly without distortions, your job is done. You don't have to wait till people accept the message. You don't have to ensure that people accept the message. Your job is to be giving people the message in a way that is acceptable. And after that, it's their job to accept or reject. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that to even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You saw an opportunity and you thought this person might be willing to accept your message. He did not accept the message. And B, you neglected someone who needed the message. Right? وَمَا عَلَيْكَ أَلَّا يَزَّكَّى وَأَمَّا مَنْ جَاءَكَ يَسْعَى As for the person who was chasing after you, وَهُوَ يَخْشَى And he was fearful as well. فَأَنْتَ عَنْهُ تَلَحَى And that person, what did you do? You became distracted from that person, away from that individual and giving him the attention that he deserves and needs because you wanted to occupy yourself with people who don't really need the message. And then Allah says, كَلَّا إِنَّهَا تَذْكِرَى كَلَّا إِنَّهَا تَذْكِرَى Nay, this is a reminder for you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it's a reminder for anyone who wishes to follow the footsteps of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. You see, sometimes you have opportunities in life to do khair, and people, they leave that opportunity to do that good because they're chasing after a bigger opportunity, right? And this is a reminder for everyone that when you have an opportunity before you, that's a door that Allah has opened for you. You have to avail it. If you don't, someone else will. Because there are a lot of people willing to take opportunities. That's opportunities in life related to da'wah. That's opportunities in life related to any other form of khayr. If you don't get up and do it, somebody else will. وَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْا يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُوا أَمْثَالَكُمْ If you turn away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change another people. You bring in other people other than yourselves. And then those people are not going to be like you. So when you have an opportunity to do something good, you do it right then. Because you don't know if it's going to come back again. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ, he said, إِذَا قَامَتِ قِيَامَةُ وَفِي يَدِي أَحَدِكُمْ فَسِيلَةٌ. That if the day of judgment comes and one of you has a sprout in his hand, then don't wait till the day of judgment occurs, except that he's already planted it within the ground. Because any single thing you do, you're going to be rewarded for it. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ. Whoever does the least of goodness, they will see that goodness as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to take and avail all of the opportunities. And he says, فَمَنْ شَاءَ ذَكَرَ. This is a reminder. Whoever wishes, they can remember. فِي صُحُفٍ مُكَرَّمَةٍ. And now Allah says that, O Prophet of Allah, and this is beautiful. That's why every word, when you're looking at it, you have to look at it in the context of the whole surah. Now Allah is talking here about the Qur'an, and the way Allah changes the tone of conversation is that, yes, I did correct you, O Muhammad. Yes, I did scold you. But remember, I'm bringing this to you where? From who? I'm bringing this to you in very honorable suhuf. I'm bringing this to you in a book that is honored by Allah Azza wa Jal, in sheets that are honored by Allah. So don't take it personally. This is an honor for you that I'm speaking to you. فِي صُحُفٍ مُكَرَّمَةٍ. It is in honorable sheets. So someone might take this and say, oh, look at this. Allah is correcting the Prophet ﷺ, scolding the Prophet ﷺ. But Allah wants to remind people that at the end of the day, even if Allah is correcting the Prophet ﷺ, Allah is doing that in a very honorable way. Just that correction, the fact that Allah addressed the Prophet ﷺ directly, that in and of itself is an honor. فِي صُحُفٍ مُكَرَّمَةٍ مَرْفُوعَةٍ مُطَهَرَةٍ. And these suhuf, these sheets, they are raised and they've been purified, i.e. purified from distortions and also purified from hands that happen to be impure. Allah says in the Qur'an, لَا يَمَسُّهُ إِلَّا الْمُطَهَرُونَ. The people who are purified, they're the ones who are to touch the Qur'an. بِأَيْدِي سَفَرَ. On top of that, it comes to you with angels, through angels. Through angels who happen to be emissaries of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Angels that happen to be messengers of God themselves as well. They are bringing the message from Allah Azza wa Jal to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Allah's Prophet is being honored by Allah by being granted this message. Even though it looks like Allah's Prophet is being corrected, which is true. But that correction is a form of honor. And it's also an opportunity for other people to learn as well. And it's also a proof that this Qur'an is true. And that it is truly from Allah. Because if the Prophet wanted to fool people into a book that he himself concocted, would it make sense to correct himself in his own book? Because then a lot of people can immediately take that and say, oh, you make mistakes like all the rest of us. Then why are you talking to us? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala corrects the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that shows you that this is not a book from Allah. This is not a book from the Prophet, that it is in fact from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is in fact from Allah azza wa jalla. That shows you that this is not a book from the Prophet ﷺ, his own message. Because that's what the kuffar of Quraysh used to claim. They used to say, اكتتبها. He's writing it down. فَهِيَ تُمْلَى عَلَيْهِ. So it's being dictated to him. But Allah said, لِسَانُ الَّذِي يُلْحِدُونَ إِلَيْهِ أَعْجَمِيٌّ وَهَذَا لِسَانٌ عَرَمِيٌّ مُبِينٌ. The people that they are saying that the Prophet ﷺ is using to dictate him stories, that person happens to be a non-Arab. He cannot speak Arabic. Because they had a specific person in mind. They said he got these stories from that individual. When he was traveling to Sham, when he was going here, when he was going there, he found people from whom he started to get stories together and he's compiling them, and they could do it as well. لَوْ نَشَاءُ لَقُلْنَا مِثْلَ هَذَا إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. If we wish, we would have spoken just like you're speaking over here, O Muhammad. We would have said exactly what you're saying over here. This is only stories and fables of the old. So Allah says, no, 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 no. It's not like that. Bring me something like the Quran and then talk. Allah continues and He says, بِأَيْدِي سَفَرَى. It's in the hands of angels who are emissaries of Allah. كِرَامٍ بَرَرَى. They are honorable angels of Allah. So Allah is honoring you with this nobility that He's sending down, angels that happen to be noble angels, and they are dutiful to Allah Azza wa Jal as well. And then Allah Azza wa Jal goes to man now. قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا أَكْفَرَهُ. There was a man at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who had said, He had said that I have disbelieved in the Lord of the Najmi Idha Hawa, Rabbun Najmi Idha Hawa. So Allah's Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to that man, he made a dua against that individual. There are not many people who, against whom the Prophet made dua. This was one of them. And he said, Allahumma sallit alayhi kalban min kilabik. Oh Allah, bring one of your dogs and allow that dog to get a piece of this man. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had this human being eaten alive by a lion. Because when it's going to be a dog from Allah Azza wa Jalla, it's not going to be your pit bull or something, right? It's going to be a lion. That's what it is. So Allah sent a lion to eat this person alive. And he was finished. So that person, he was saying, I have disbelieved in the Lord of a Najm, Idha Hawa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, speaking about that individual, he says, قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا أَكْفَرَ. He said, man has been killed, or قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ, they interpret it in different ways, but basically, that man is cursed and destroyed. مَا أَكْفَرَ. What leads him to this disbelief? How severe of a disbeliever this man was, that he is looking at one of the signs of Allah. He's looking at one of the signs of Allah. A star. And he is saying that this sign that Allah has sent, that shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is really Allah, that shows the magnitude and the majesty of Allah, that shows the magnificence of Allah, because Allah is the creator of these signs that he's mentioning, and Surah An-Najm is full of signs. He says, I'm going to disbelieve in that Lord who's giving all these signs. So Allah says, قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا أَكْفَرَهُ. Man shall be destroyed. How severe of a kafir he happens to be. مِنْ أَيِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَهُ. Then Allah says, مِنْ أَيِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَهُ. From what did Allah had, from what was this man created? Did he not think of his creation? He became so arrogant that he started to reject all the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal. Did he not ponder for a second at his own very creation? مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created this man from a semen drop. خَلَقَهُ. Allah created him. فَقَدَّرَهُ. And then he made him capable of all of the actions that you see today, that man happens to be doing. That a semen that comes out of the private part goes into a private part, and then a child is developed within the private part and born from that private part. Anything that comes from there, people will not be willing to pay cents for it, or pennies for it. In fact, if you bring some semen and put it over here, what would you do? You'd find every single cleaning supply in the masjid and try to clean it up. Allah wants to remind you that you and I have been created from ma' maheen, water which is completely useless and worthless. Nobody gives 2 cents about it. And Allah is saying the same thing over here. But didn't he think of his own creation? He became so arrogant that he's looking at the magnificent signs of Allah Azza wa Jal, the star, the moon. He's looking at the galaxies. He's looking at the sun. He's looking at how Allah makes water come down from the heavens, and how that water gets drained into the earth, and how Allah makes the water also flow out of the earth, and how Allah makes the rivers flow, and how the river happens to have sweet water, and then it goes into sea water that is salty, but they don't quite mix into one another as well. مرج البحرين يلتقيان بينهما برزخ لا يبغيان. That the two bahars, they ended up meeting together, but they don't really mix. And the scholars, they said that this is referring to the phenomenon that we have today, that we've been able to discover, and that is that river water, that is sweet water, is drinkable. It mixes into the seawater, that is salt water, but it doesn't actually mix. It floats on top of it, largely. And Allah actually talked about this more clearly as well in another verse. He says, مَرَجَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ. He said, هَذَا عَذْبٌ فُرَاتٌ سَائِغٌ شَرَابُهُ وَهَذَا مِلْحٌ أُجَاجٌ. That this happens to be sweet, it's drinkable water, and this right here is a salty water, but they're not mixing into one another. So when he sees this sign, or he sees any other sign of Allah Azza wa Jal, he's rejecting not just with Allah, but even the signs of Allah, the very signs that he had created to have a person recognize Allah, because of the arrogance that this person has. Did he not look at his own creation and how despicable it was? ثُمَّ السَّبِيلَ يَسَّرَهُ. That Then after he comes out into this world, Allah Azza wa Jal makes every situation easy for him. Allah makes every path easy for him. Allah makes the ability to drink milk from the breast of his mother easy for him. Allah says, وَهَدَيْنَهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ. And Allah guided the child as he's born to the Najdain. And the scholars of Tafsir, some of them, they said, this is the bosoms of the mother. So he's able to figure out how to drink milk. A child that doesn't know anything. Even within the fact that he's able to learn how to drink and nurse from a mother, that's a sign if you really think about it. Where did he get this knowledge of being able to do this? ثُمَّ أَمَاتَهُ فَأَقْبَرَهُ. Then Allah Azza wa Jal, he took the life of this person. فَأَقْبَرَهُ. And then he also gave him a grave as well. So when he dies, Allah didn't make man like all the rest of the creations of Allah. All the rest of the animals, because animals don't have to be buried. Okay? The rule is that if you see an animal, if it is disturbing people, you have to move it out of the way and dispose of it in whatever way possible. But is it necessary? I.e., is it an obligation to bury an animal? The answer is no. There is no hadith to that effect. And this particular ayah also alludes to the opposite as well. Meaning that Allah is saying one of the ni'mas of Allah upon the human being is that He's taught people to bury one another. Okay? That's one of the ni'mas of Allah. That is one of the blessings of Allah. That is one of the ways in which Allah has elevated man over other creations. ثُمَّ إِذَا شَاءَ أَنْشَرَهُ. Then whenever Allah wishes, Allah brings them back to life as well. Gives them life again. كَلَّا لَمَّا يَقْضِي مَا أَمَرَهُ. Nay again. The Muslim and the non-Muslim. The believer and the non-believer. They haven't fulfilled what Allah has commanded fully. That's what Allah is saying. These people, they haven't fulfilled. I haven't fulfilled. You haven't fulfilled completely what Allah has commanded. So Allah says, let me tell you of something else then. Because you might be doubting the fact that there is a resurrection, and that's the problem with the kuffar of Quraysh and people of all times who disbelieve in the Day of Judgment. So Allah says, let me give you another example. He says, فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِ. Then let a human being look at his own food, because that's a sign as well. The food that Allah has given. أَنَّا صَبَبْنَا الْمَاءَ صَبَّا. It was us that caused the water to come down. It was us that poured the water on top of them. صَبَّا, pouring very heavily. ثُمَّ شَقَقْنَا الْأَرْضَ شَقَّا. And then we caused the water to break holes within the earth. And we caused this water to cleave the earth. We cleaved the earth because of the water. شَقَقْنَا الْأَرْضَ شَقَّا. Now, if you really think about that as well, that's also a sign. Because in order for you to pick up some of the dirt as you're trying to bury a seed, in order for you to do that, you have to go through a lot of effort. And the seed doesn't look like it has any strength or any power or any energy or any strength, because it's so light and it's so flimsy that you could literally take it and break it and crush it with your own fingers. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you put that in the ground, we send the water down, ثُمَّ شَقَقْنَا الْأَرْضَ شَقَّى. And we cause that little seed to start breaking the earth apart. And sometimes it's not even dirt, because you may say dirt, well, it's very simple. But sometimes, all sorts of very rough and thick layers are placed on top of the earth, like gravel and other things. But then when Allah Azza wa Jal wants the rain to come down, the plants start to pop out just like that, right? And maybe it's hard to imagine over here, but when I was living in Malaysia, that's a phenomenon we used to see all the time. You can put anything you want on the plane that Allah has created, but just within a few years to a few decades, it's going to break. Why? Because Allah has made that land such that plants have to grow there. Plants will grow right through the cement that you place. Plants will grow right through the gravel that you place. Plants will grow right through any type of structure that you create. Because this is the power of Allah. Allah says, وَشْثُمَّ شَقَقْنَا الْأَرْضَ شَقَّ. Then we break the earth apart so that the plants may be able to come out. فَأَنْبَتْنَا فِيهَا حَبَّا. And then what we do is, we create within their grain as well. وَعِنَبًا وَقَضْبًا. And we create within their grain, we cause grain to come out, and we cause grapes to come out, and we cause fodder to come out as well. We're making all these things happen for you. وَزَيْتُونَ وَنَخْلًا. And we also make sure that olives come by for you. And date palms are there for you. وَحَدَائِقَ غُلْبًا. And all other types of gardens as well. They're there for you as well. That's something that Allah has created as a sign. And this is a sign that Allah repeats again and again for the resurrection. Right? Because what happens with plants is they die. And then Allah Azza wa Jal allows that plant to be revived again. And then they die. And then Allah allows the plant to be revived again. When fall happens, what happens? It looks like all the plants are kind of dead. Quote unquote. But then when springtime comes, it's all back again. Everything comes back. By the time summer is there, all the plants are alive again. So Allah uses the plants as one of the signs that show that Allah has the ability to take life and bring life back as well. Allah has the ability to make something appear like it's completely dead, because when you're dead, you're still alive, but you're in Hayatul Barzakh. You're in the life of the grave. So Allah Azza wa Jal makes this being appear, the plant, as if it's dead, and then He brings it back to life again. And Allah says, وَفَاكِهَةً وَأَبَّا. And we also gave grass and we gave fakiha. Umar ibn Khattab, by the way, when he read this verse, this was one of the verses in which Umar ibn Khattab, he stopped and he thought to himself, that what does this word mean? Abba. Okay? So that also shows you that the Sahaba, not every one of them knew every single word in the Quran. Okay? This is a fact. And that's why even Abu Bakr was sometimes questioned about certain words, and he would say, that I don't know, and people will be shocked, and why don't you know of all people? You're Abu Bakr. Who would know if you don't know? Right? So he refused to answer, and he said, أَيُّ سَمَاءٍ تُظِلُّنِي وَأَيُّ أَرْضٍ تُقِلُّنِي إِذَا قُلْتُ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ مَا لَيْسَ لِي بِهِ عِلْمٍ. He said, what heavens will shade me, and what earth will give me a place to rest and carry me if I was to say something about the book of Allah Azza wa Jal that I have no knowledge of? So Umar al-Khattab, when he looked at wafakihatan, he said, as for fakiha, I know what it means. But what's Abba? What does Abba mean? And then he stopped. He said, you know what? I'm thinking too deep. Allah is trying to give a message, and the message is that Allah has created all of these different types of plants. He's created grapes, He's created qadb, He's created fodder, He's created olives, He's created date palms, He's created all the other types of gardens and plants, and He's created fruits generally, and He's created something called right? Now Ibn Abbas, of course, who is, Ibn Abbas is the Tarjuman al-Qur'an. So Ibn Abbas has a tafsir for this. He says that al-ab is referring to anything that animals eat. Okay? Whereas al-hasidah is anything that human beings eat. So whatever is grown from the earth, that animals end up eating, like fodder, hay, and such things, all of that is al-ab. And whatever is whatever grows on the earth and is harvested that human beings eat, that is called al-hasidah. Okay? Mata'al lakum. Then he says, it's mata'al lakum. And this is one of the proofs for what Ibn Abbas is saying. Mata'al lakum wa li an'amikum. This is food for you. This is provision for you. And this is provision for your animals as well. So the fakiha is provision for yourself. Fruits. And the ab happens to be for provision for what? The animals. مَتَاعًا لَكُمْ وَلِأَنْعَامِكُمْ. So He's created a provision for yourselves within this land that grows all sorts of provisions, that grows all sorts of plants, and that has all sorts of trees and all sorts of fruits and different types of fodder for animals. It has all of these things. فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الصَّاخَّةِ. Then Allah says, when the صَاخَّة comes. Now the topic is kind of changing, okay? And if you were to look at like the consistency in terms of Allah jumping from one topic to another, there's obviously consistency always, right? So he starts off Allah Azza wa Jal, and he talks to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is the very first segment of the surah. And that is the reason why Allah is revealing the surah. So that is from verse number 1 all the way till verse number 10. All of that is a discussion with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you made a mistake, you shouldn't have frowned and turned away. Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktoum, Abdullah ibn Zaidah was there, you should have spoken to him. You shouldn't have been spoken to Utbah ibn Abi Lahab or Umayyah ibn Khalaf or any of the other leaders from Quraysh. You should have been speaking to Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktoum, because he's the one who had a question. And then Allah says, there's a tazkira in this, there's a reminder, because I'm not scolding the Prophet ﷺ publicly for the rest of time and correcting the Prophet ﷺ publicly for the rest of the time, just like that. I'm doing it because there's a reminder that people have got to prioritize the khayr that Allah has allowed them to do. And every opportunity you have of khayr, that's the khayr that you need to do, because you might not have the opportunity that someone else has. And that's one of the problems that people have today, that they look at other people doing good and they want to do that type of good, but maybe that's not been facilitated for them. They've got another facilitation, they have another opportunity. So you take whatever opportunity that is available to you. So that's a reminder then. Now, in this reminder, Allah also corrects a misconception that can happen when the Prophet is being corrected. So he talks about this beautiful book within which Allah has revealed the Quran, within which Allah is revealing this message, so that people realize that this is actually a form of honoring the Prophet, and it's not a form of dishonoring the Prophet. And now Allah goes into the people who the Prophet was addressing. He was neglecting Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktoum, and he was addressing people who were not accepting the message. So Allah starts addressing those people. He starts talking about them, that they are such severe disbelievers, and they should have believed. Here are the signs that should have led them to believe. All of these are signs. The fact that they are created from just a drop of water, which is useless and worthless, which has no value in the sight of anybody. And the fact that Allah is the one who gives life, and He also takes that life away as well. And the fact that Allah will resurrect people. And then if you think that resurrection is not going to come, now Allah gives you signs for resurrection. So Allah says that, look at your food. What happens to the food? There's a cycle. Water comes down, rain takes that seed, makes the plant pop, and you use that plant to eat, and that plant has more seeds, and then you sow those seeds again, and the water comes down from the heavens again, and Allah makes the rain cause this seed also to be impregnated, and it is created, it also creates another plant for you, and that cycle continues. So if Allah can create the cycle of life of plants happen, why can't He make your cycle happen as well? That when you die, Allah brings you back. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to talk about when you come back. So He says, فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الصَّخَّةُ. When the day of judgment comes, when the sakha comes, when the deafening noise comes. And this is referring to the sayha. This is referring to the scream in the trumpet, the blowing in the trumpet. وَنُفِقَ فِي الصُّورِ فَصَعِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Allah allowed Israfil to blow within the trumpet, every single thing within this world came to an end, a screeching halt. ثُمَّ نُفِقَ فِيهِ أُخْرَى فَإِذَا هُمْ قِيَامٌ يَنْظُرُونَ. Then another blow is done into the trumpet, and every single person will be resurrected again. So the صَاخَة is the first one. The صَاخَة is the second one. Is the second one. Because Allah says, فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الصَّاخَة. When the صَاخَة comes, what's going to happen? That will be on the day يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ, because now people are resurrected and people are running away from one another. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ. On that day, a man will run away from his own brother. وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ. And the man will be running from his mother, and he'll be running from his father as well. Why are people running, by the way? Well, when people come out of the graves, Allah describes them. He says that يَوْمَ يَخْرُجُونَ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ. On that day when they come out of the graves. And He describes them in many different ways. So he says, كالفراش المبثوث, in one place. They happen to be like moths that are مبثوث. They're all over the place. A moth, when it's sitting on a wall, if you try to tickle it, what happens? Does it fly in the direction that you tickle it? You have no idea which direction a moth will go. When it comes to a fly, you can still anticipate the direction the fly will go, right? If you kind of buzz off a fly, you can kind of estimate that it's going to go in that direction, even if it comes back afterwards, but it will comply. Whereas a moth, what happens is it has no direction. You try to make a moth fly this way, it actually flies against the direction that you want it to fly. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives simile to human beings that will come out of the graves on the Day of Judgment, like the moth, al-farash, al-mabthuth. Like the moth which is spread around and it has no direction and it has no patterns. But then Allah Azza wa Jalla will give the people a pattern as well. And He says, كَأَنَّهُمْ جَرَادٌ مُنْتَشِرٌ. They will be like jarad muntashir. They'll be like grasshoppers which are spread all over. Grasshoppers, they have a different system. What do? You know exactly which direction grasshoppers are going. And they normally travel in groups as well, right? And each group continues to follow itself. So when the grasshoppers are traveling and they're moving together in a very civilized fashion almost, in a very sequential fashion, in a very patterned way. They know exactly where they're going. And if you see two groups of grasshoppers crossing one another, it's not like these ones will not know their direction and those ones will not know their direction. They will cross right by each other and they will jump right by each other and they will go right by each other and they'll still know the direction that they're going. So Allah says, in the beginning, people are like these moths that are flying all over and they have no direction. And then Allah Azza wa Jal gives them direction and they become like jaradun muntashir, because every person will be called by their imam. يَوْمَ نَدْعُوا كُلَّ أُنَاسٍ بِإِمَامِهِمْ. On that day, we'll call every single person with their imam, with their leader. With their leader, whoever they used to follow, that's going to be their imam on the Day of Judgment. And then they'll have direction. So Allah is saying, when they come out, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ. On that day, people will be running from their... A man will run from his brother, وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ, and from his mother and his father as well, وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ, and his wife and his children as well. And Allah calls the wife over here, صَاحِبَةِ, the companion as well. So you're reminded of the fact that the companionship will also be forgotten. You used to be very close and there was companionship and it's all forgotten. On top of that, not everybody has a wife. Some people just have a sahiba. They don't have wives. They just have a companion. They have a girlfriend. So anyone you have that intimacy with, that's not going to be with you, because those same emotions that husband and wives have for another, that's a similar type of emotion that people sometimes have in haram relationships as well. Because you're trying to get that comfort, you're trying to get that companionship. Allah is saying no companionship between any males or females or anything. لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَ إِذٍ شَأْنِهُ. Why? Because every single person will be occupied with their own business on that day. In this life, people make time for you, people take time out of their schedules for you because you matter to them in some capacity. But then Allah is saying on the Day of Judgment, it's not like that. People don't matter for one another anymore because every single person is busy with their own business. They're all dealing with the same problems. Even the prophets, as people will go to Adam and they'll go to Nuh and they'll go to other prophets, and everyone will say what? Myself, myself. Everybody's occupied with themselves on that day. لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ. Every single person, يَوْمَ إِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِي. Every single person will have something that will be keeping them busy, and that's the calamity that they see before them on the Day of Judgment. وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ مُسْفِرَةٌ. And by the way, some of the scholars of tafsir, they said that this ayah is not referring to every person that's resurrected. It's only referring to people who happen to be non-Muslims, or people who happen to be from the people of fire. As for those people who are from the people of Jannah, they will not be running around. And I believe this is not a correct opinion. Why? Because right after Allah says what? لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ. Every single person, without exception, on that day, we'll have something that will be keeping them occupied. And we know from the hadith that even the prophets, who are the epitome of believers, they will also be saying myself, myself. So everyone will be occupied with themselves on the Day of Judgment. Everyone will be running from each other. وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ مُسْفِرَةٌ. On that day, there will be some faces. And Allah goes to the face, because the face can tell you a lot about what's going on in a person's heart, right? When a person has emotions of joy and a person has emotions that are positive, that becomes apparent within the face as well. The endorphins, when they are released by the body as a person becomes happy, that increases the glow in the face. And that's why when you look at a person, sometimes they're excited or happy and you say, well, you seem quite happy, and it's the same face. It's not only the fact that the person is frowning or sad or any of that. It's because when you're happy, physically there's an effect on your face as well. When you're sad, physically there's a darkness that happens on your face. So that difference is going to become even more apparent on the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وُجُوهِ يَوْمَئِذٍ مُسْفِرَةٍ. On that day, some faces will be bright and shining. Musfira. Asfara yusfiru. It literally means to unveil something. And asfara also refers to something becoming very evident and clear. And that's why we say asfara subhu. The morning time had become clear. As in, the sun is completely out now. Okay? So just like that, on the Day of Judgment, people, there will be some people whose faces will be glowing and shining. Dahikatun mustabshira. And they will be laughing. And they'll be joyful. And they'll be very happy. And they won't be sad. So these are some people that happen to be very happy and they're joyful and they're not sad. And they are rejoicing over the good news that Allah is granting them, because they know they're going to be from the Ashabul Yameen, the people of the right hand. Now, because Allah talks about these two groups so many places in the Quran, here Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't even bother mentioning who these people are. Because if you read the Quran from the beginning all the way to Surah Abasa, by this time you already have an idea who's being spoken of. The people of Jannah. The people who did righteous deeds and they believed in Allah and they believed in the messengers of Allah Azza wa Jal as well. They are the ones whose faces will be shining and lit. They are the ones who will be laughing. And some of the scholars of Tafsir, they say that this here is referring to them laughing at the non-believers and the people who happen to be the people of hellfire. Because on the Day of Judgment, they've had enough, because they were ridiculed all of their lives because of their belief. Every single place they went, they were taunted. أَتَقْتُلُونَ رَجُلًا أَن يَقُولَ رَبِّيَ اللَّهِ. Are you killing a man because he said, my Lord is Allah? So after all of the trauma they have to go through, there's going to be some relief on the Day of Judgment. So they're looking and they're saying, these people, they had the opportunity to believe just like us, but they did not. ضَاحِكَةٌ, they're laughing at that. Or they're laughing out of happiness. Both is possible. مُسْتَبْشِرَةٌ, and they're rejoicing because of the good news that Allah is granting them. Allah doesn't give more of that. Why? Well, because of the fact that now Allah is speaking to those kuffar of Quraysh who didn't end up believing. Even though the Prophet was going outside of his way, he was going out of his way to be able to address these people like Utbah, like Umayyah, like others. He was going out of his way to address them, but they're not believing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want to talk about the believers here. He wants to talk about the consequence of those people who disbelieve, because he says, قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا أَكْفَرَ. Destruction be to man, how severe of a disbeliever he happens to be. I.e. the one who happens to be a disbeliever. So those people who disbelieve, Allah will detail their abode. And Allah will detail their situation. Allah says, وَوُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَلَيْهَا غَبَرَ. And then there are other faces on that day, they will have dust all over that face. They will have dust all over. تَرْهَقُهَا قَتَرَ. And on top of the fact that their faces happen to be completely dusty, there's darkness on that face as well. And literally, al-qatar or al-qutar, it means smoke. You know, when there's like a war zone happening, just imagine yourself, watching a movie or like some sort of ad on television where they're showing a war zone. And if they say show children, or if they show even adults that are survivors of this war, what do they show? Dirt all over the face. Because of the bombings, there's smoke that they've also accumulated over their faces as well. And so Allah is literally saying that. Their faces will be completely dirty, and on top of that, there will be smoke all over those faces as well. تَرْهَقُهَا قَتَرَةً. It will be covered with all this darkness and smoke. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَفَرَةُ الْفَجَرَةُ. And this happens because of two reasons. Because of their kufr and because of their fujur. Number one, they are kafara, meaning they disbelieved in Allah. And number two, they are fajara, meaning they did deeds which are not righteous deeds. They did impious deeds. They did deeds which are malicious. They did sinful actions. So just as there are two ingredients that take you to Jannah, there are two ingredients that take you away from Jannah. That's what Allah is trying to say. They are kafara and they're fajara. They're disbelievers in Allah and they're people of fujur. They're people of misdeeds as well. So if you want to go to Jannah, the path is very clear. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Those people who believe and they do righteous deeds. If you want to go to hellfire, the path is also very clear. كَفَرَ الْفَجَرَ كُفْرَ الْفُجُورِ. Disbelief and misdeeds. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among the people whose faces will be illuminated on the Day of Judgment. And ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant us the ability to understand His book and appreciate it and recognize it. And give us the ability to appreciate the central message of the Qur'an, which is very basic. Believe in Allah and do the righteous deeds, exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us of these people, the people of the hellfire, didn't do. They're kuffar and they're fujar. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from kufr and fujur. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.